So this past week, you know, we were in preparation for the church picnic, and the staff walked out onto the side yard, and we were looking at where the stage was going to go and the tent and everything else. And as we were walking back in, we saw this peculiar kind of bush tree slash thing. I mean, you know, bushes can actually grow large enough that they actually look like trees. And so we saw this bush slash tree, and it had these really peculiar blue fruit, round fruit that was hanging off of them, like a berry, if you will. And we looked at it and we said, surely, do we have a blueberry tree? You know, even though blueberries don't grow on trees. But we thought, do we have a blueberry tree? And so Adam, our graphic designer, he, you know, asked Siri, do we have a blueberry tree? But he did ask, you know, what could this be, right? And we found out that there's actually a lot of different plants in the world that look just like blueberries. The problem is, there's only one blueberry. And everything else that you eat potentially could be poisonous. So you have to be extremely careful about eating these things. And then, so my sources, who will remain nameless to protect the innocent, told me that actually what we have around our church property are not blueberry bushes that look like trees. They're actually called service berry trees. How many of you have heard of service berry trees? Yeah, okay, awesome. We've got those around our property. Now, here's the cool thing about a service berry tree. A service berry tree, at the height of its ripeness, can taste as sweet as a blueberry. Were you aware of this? So immediately, the staff started thinking, how can we capitalize? We'll start making jams. We'll start making jellies. We'll start making pies, service berry pies, you know. We're thinking we've got our own little production of service berry farm here, right? And the reality is, if you really think about it, and if you stand back and you look, you know, it brings to mind, what are other things in this world that they look the same, but they're actually completely different? They might look the same, but they're actually completely different. So a couple of things that I found, horse nettle. Are you familiar with horse nettle, anybody? Horse nettle, they look like unripened cherry tomatoes. Here's the problem with horse nettle. If you eat it, it will cause severe abdominal pain and also circulatory and respiratory distress. Yeah, you don't want that in your salad. Yeah. Right? You don't want the restaurant messing up important horse nettle in your salad versus a tomato, an unripened tomato. Or look at the wisteria, the legume of a wisteria. Now, what does that look like to you? Green beans. They look like beans. Again, the problem is if you open these things up, there's this tiny little pod in there that's a nasty little sucker, and it's extremely toxic to humans, right? And it grows on a beautiful, beautiful plant, a wisteria. But tucked inside of it is this little nastiness. And it looks just like a green bean. It looks like the same thing, but it's not. Here's the thing. Things can always look good on the outside, but it may not match what's on the inside. It reminds me of a story of a farmer who planted an orange tree and an apple tree. He's in North Florida, and he knew that he was far enough north in Florida that he could get away with the possibility of raising up an apple tree in Florida. So he thought, well, I really would love to have the production of apples and be able to provide that for my family. And then also, I love oranges, and I know I can grow an orange tree. So he grew them up together. So side by side, the orange tree and the apple tree, they grew up on the farm. Well, one day, the orange tree started to get really jealous of the apple tree. And the orange tree started to look at the apple tree and was like, you are so much better than me. I mean, all the different names that you can go by, Red Delicious, Golden Delicious, Gala, Granny Smith, Pink, Macintosh, Honeycrisp. I mean, the orange tree was just going on and on about all the different ways and the different things of the titles of this majestic apple tree. He looked at himself and he says, some people call me sweet, right? Some call me Persian. Hey, wait a minute. I'm named after a belly button. Some call me navel. He's kind of walking around going, seriously? We go from Golden Delicious to navel. So the orange tree started to get really discouraged. Then all of a sudden, he started to notice that there were other apple trees, and they turned different colors. Some of them were green. Some of them were yellow. Some of them were this beautiful red. And the orange tree looked at itself, and he looked at the other apple trees, and he says, "Hey, guess what color I am? Orange. This is what you get. Orange." He looked at the apple tree and he says, "If they cut you open, it's white on the inside. And it's got seeds. You have seeds. You cut me open and guess what you get more of? Orange." How many of you can relate with the orange tree? Right? So they continue to grow up together. The orange tree looks at the apple tree and he says, "They can make apple strudel out of you. Apple butter, apple pie, apple sauce, apple juice, apple cider." And the orange tree goes, "You know what they can make out of me? Juice." Right? He goes, actually, "I taste really good when I'm dried. Sometimes you find me in the bathroom as potpourri." Back in the olden days, they used to use my peel for kindling, so they would throw my peel into the fire. Yeah, this is great, great. Love being an orange. Love being an orange. But the apple tree tried to convince the orange tree that no, you are important. Every morning, the farmer comes out and he picks oranges from you because the farmer's wife, and the farmer's wife goes in and juices those oranges, and they provide juice for the entire family. You're important. And the orange is like, "You know what? Don't patronize me. I know the difference between you and me. I'm just a simple orange. You've got all these things going for you, and here I am. I'm just a simple orange." So the orange tree decided, "I'm not going to be an orange tree anymore." So the orange tree refused to be an orange tree. Stopped producing fruit. Stopped being an orange tree. The farmer's wife stopped coming out and pulling oranges off of the tree because when it did produce fruit, it was tart and it was sour. And every time she tried to juice it, it didn't taste right. And so the orange tree just withered. Said, "You know what? I'm done being who I was created to be." So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 12. This past week, we were reading through Matthew 8 through Matthew 13 in our reading for this past week. And again, I want to encourage you, if you're just joining us, we are reading through the Bible, through the New Testament, one chapter a day. It's really easy. We only ask that we read one chapter a day. We're doing it all together. This past week, it was 8 through 13 of Matthew. It's in page 743 in your pew Bible. And again, just want to tell you too, if this is your first time here or you've been here and you know that you need a Bible and you would like to take a Bible with you home, take the one that's in the pew. It is our gift to you. So make sure you do that. We love it when we see Bibles walk out of here because we know that they're going to advance God's kingdom. So Matthew 12, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And he's using an analogy that we see often actually in the chapters that we read this past week. So speaking to the Pharisees, starting in verse 33, he says, "A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad." And then turning his attention to the Pharisees, he says to them, "You brood of snakes." Basically, what he calls them is sons of Satan. He literally looks at the Pharisees and he says, "You sons of Satan." And he goes on to say, "How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? And this is important. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." Now, I want to translate this for you. If we look in the Greek, the word fruit here is literally translated into fruit. That's all I got. It's literally translated into fruit. But figuratively, there is so much that's going on in this passage. In the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it actually tells us that figuratively, it means that which originates or comes from something, an effect or results. So we're on good interpretive ground if we replace the word fruit here in this passage with the word results. So I want us to take a look at this, and let's read this out loud, church. A tree is identified by its results. If a tree is good, its results will be good. If a tree is bad, its results will be bad. Galatians 5:2 talks about the results of a spirit-filled life. If we look at Galatians 5:2, we know that's where we find the fruits of the Spirit, meaning the results of the spirit-filled life is a life that is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this means that if you plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. If you plant an orange seed, you're going to get what? An orange tree. If you plant bitterness, then bitterness will grow. If you plant anger, then anger is what's going to grow. The British novelist Charles Reed has said, "Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." These are powerful words. We're going to keep these up on the screen just for a few minutes. So if you're taking notes and you want to write that down, this is good stuff. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. If you reap a habit or sow a habit, then you reap a character. And if you sow a character, meaning getting down to the core level of who you are, you have the ability to reap a destiny. Here's the thing. How do we know if a tree is healthy? Again, it may look good, but it could be rotten at its core. The way that we know a tree looks good is if it continually produces good fruit. We have to wait. When you plant a tree and the tree starts to grow, you have to wait before you actually start to pull off the fruit off of that tree, because it has to mature. And it has to get to the place where it produces good fruit. And then you have to wait another season to see if it'll produce good fruit again. So we know a tree is healthy if it produces yearly and seasonally. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 1:3, referring to those who are in God's word, he says this in verse 3, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So there's a major connection here between being in God's word and the production of fruit from our lives. Because the psalmist says that we are like a tree planted by the river. Well, how does it continually produce good fruit, even in the midst of a drought? Because it's by the river, because it's in the word, and it's helping to produce fruit year after year, year and season after season. You see, Jesus uses this analogy, and he uses the analogy in Matthew 12, where we're reading today about the fruit, to really mirror. It's really as a mirror for the true condition of one's heart and character. What's inside of us, our being, our choices, our desires, our passion, our attitude, will either produce good fruit or bad fruit. Just like an orange can't hide the fact that it's an orange tree, or an apple tree can't hide the fact that it's an apple tree, you won't be able to hide your fruit. You can't hide your fruit this morning. You can maybe try to be another fruit, but the reality is the fruit, and you can't hide it. Israel couldn't hide its fruit. We look at Isaiah actually writing about God and talking about the people of Israel who had really messed up. Over and over again, we find Israel messing up. And so Isaiah writes this, and he's talking about God and God being the one who plants a vineyard. He says, "The one I love," this is in Isaiah 5:1-2, "the one I love had a vineyard, a fine, well-placed vineyard. He hoed the soil and pulled the weeds, and he planted the very best vines. He built a lookout, built a wine press, a vineyard to be proud of. He looked for a vintage yield of grapes, but for all of his pains, he got junk grapes." all that God tried to do for Israel. And Israel, they just kept turning their back on God. So as we keep reading in this passage that we're in Matthew chapter 12, we see Jesus then makes the connection between a person's fruit and the things that they say. Verse 34, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." Here's the thing about the things that you say. It's like a tube of toothpaste. Once it goes out, you can't get it back. Once it goes out, you can't put it back. That's what happens when we say things. And so I want you to hear me this morning. Some people wake up in the morning. The first thing they do is brush their teeth. The second thing they do is sharpen their tongues. And the reality is, their fruit tells us who they are. Speaking of words, your words have power to either give life or cause death. Your words have the ability to either cause life to happen or give life to those around you, or they can cause death. If the breath of God is in you, then when you speak to others, it's the breath of God that will come out. Matthew 12, if we keep reading in verses 36 and 37, says, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." Now here's the amazing thing about that passage. It says the words that you say. You see, on judgment day, there's not going to be any opportunity to say more words. So what's going to be judged against us? The words that we say are either going to acquit us or condemn us, or the words that we're speaking right now. The words that we're saying right now. How are we using our words? Are our words giving life or are our words causing death? Because again, the fruit might look great, but when you slice it open, it could be rotten on the inside. And this is challenging for us. John 15, verse 8, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." But look at the way that the passage actually begins. It doesn't say if you produce much fruit, and it doesn't say if you produce any fruit. But Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "When you produce much fruit." Again, these are challenging words because the anticipation is if you are going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to walk with him and you're going to be an advocate for him in the world, if you're going to be an ambassador for Christ in the world around us, the anticipation is that when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Which helps us to understand the inverse of this. If we're not producing fruit, how can we say that we're a disciple of Christ? This is the challenge for us. Now listen, I don't want to just keep kind of dropping this down and not bring the hope, because that's what we came is to hear is the story and of hope. And the question today isn't, what does your fruit look like? The question for us this morning is, what does your heart look like? Because what your heart looks like will determine what your fruit looks like. Verse 35, we have to remember in 12, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So here's the good news. You guys ready for some good news? We have a Savior who desires to till the soil of your heart. We have a Savior who is one of the best farmers I know, who has the ability to change the soil of our hearts so much that the fruit that is produced is life-giving. And doesn't just look good, it is good. It doesn't just look good on the outside, but you cut that open and guess what? There's orange inside. Because it's okay to be an orange. If God made you to be an orange, be an orange. If he made you to be an apple, be an apple. Be green, be yellow, be red. Because whatever is cut into you, when you're sliced open through the seasons of life, and it gets hard and you get cut open, it's what's inside that makes the difference. It's what's inside that's going to come out. I'm happy to be an orange. Trust me, I'll be a lemon, right? Maybe some of you this morning, you feel like a lemon. And I love the saying, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know what? Lemons aren't bad. Lemons are awesome. And I'm glad to be a lemon. Because you know what? On a summer day, when it's hot outside, and the only thing you want is come in and you want to have a big, tall glass of lemonade, maybe the next time you have that big, tall glass, you go, you know what, God? I'm a lemon. Because when you cut me open, what's on the inside matches what's on the outside. When life gets hard and I feel like I'm cut, what's inside matches what's on the outside. Ezekiel 36. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all of your idols. Listen to this, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's what God wants to do in us. God wants to remove the stony, stubborn heart, and he wants to replace it with a heart of flesh. Because remember, the byproduct of our life, the fruit that is our life, will come from the soil of our heart. If you remember reading this past week, we read in Matthew 13, and in Matthew, he talks about it and calls it the parable of the sower. You may know it as the parable of the soils. And he talks about the seed that is dropped, and it's dropped on multiple different soils. Some soil is good and healthy, and the plants grow. Some of it's hard and craggy, and the birds come down and scoop it up. Or the other seed is dropped, and it drops on the hard path, and it's never done, nothing ever happens of it. The reality is of when we talk about the parable of the soils is we're actually talking about the soil being our heart. How much can our heart be cultivated by God? When the seed, which he is right now, he is planting seeds in you. The question you have to ask is, what is the condition of the soil of my heart? Is my heart ready to receive that seed? Is my heart in a place where I desire to realize that if God can work on the soil of my heart, then the production of my fruit is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I went to Home Depot, and you look at Home Depot, and they have all these different enrichment, you know, the nutrient-packed soil, right? And it talks about, you know, depending on what type of plant you're trying to plant, you can go and you can get nutrient-packed soil that you put down in the ground, and then all of a sudden you plant your things in it, and it's supposed to help make your plants grow even stronger. Well, guess what, folks? We've got this incredible nutrient-packed soil that if we put it in the ground and we allow Christ to be the seed that plants in it, and we go to his word, then we are like a tree planted by the river, and there's a production of fruit that will happen out of that. And what's outside matches what's inside. You know what? I did good. We've got 5 minutes left, and the band doesn't know this, but they're going to come back. And we're going to end the service this morning by singing All Things New. Because the hope for us this morning is to recognize that on our own, we don't have the ability to be made new. On our own, we don't have the ability to plant anything that's going to grow worth of anything. But when you add God into the mix, he becomes the nutrient in the soil, and we allow our hearts to be tender. We were reminded of the word of Ezekiel that says, and I will remove your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you I will put my spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Maybe some of you this morning, you're challenged by this message in a good way. Because you're challenged to actually think about it. Listen, okay, my fruit might look great, but when life happens and I'm cut open, what's on the inside? What's on the inside? What's going to come out? Are my words that I'm speaking to people, does it give life or is it causing death? What is the production of my life? What is the results of my life? What fruit am I bearing? And maybe this morning you're challenged by that. And this is all that I simply want us to do. I just want us, you know, we're going to sing this song, All Things New. And you know, yesterday and forever, his love never changes. For he is making all things new. If you this morning want to experience the newness that only Christ can give, then I just simply want you to step out. We're going to stand. And I just simply want you to step out. And I want you to come down here. And I just want you to just stand. I don't want you to kneel at the altar. I just want you to stand. Because I want it to be not between you and anybody else around you, but by coming forward, I want you to stand here and I want you to be able to proclaim to God, you are making all things new. You want to change the fruit of my life. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, but God, I know that only you can do it. And so as we sing this song and as we celebrate as the congregation, I just want to invite you, if that's you this morning and you say, I need God to make me new. I need him to change my fruit. I want my fruit to be productive. I want to accept who I am and who he created me to be. I don't need to be anybody else. I don't need to be an apple tree if he made me to be an orange tree. I don't need to be an orange tree if he made me to be an apple tree. I need to be who he created me to be so that I can go out into the world and I can say, check out God's fruit. Check out God's fruit. Don't look at my fruit. Look at God's fruit because he's going to produce it in you. So church, stand with me. Let's close our service right by celebrating that he makes all things new. And like I said, if you this morning, you say, God, I need you to make me new. I want my fruit to be real inside and outside. I want my life to produce something that I can't produce on my own. I want to come to the nutrient-enriched soil of your love. If that's you, I just simply want you to come and just stand right here this morning.